Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Hey, we could have done them outside today. But if you would like to be baptized, welcome to sign up for that. Sometimes people ask me, you know, I got baptized as a child. Should I get baptized again? You know, that's really up to you. I was baptized, I think I was 9 years old. And then when I came back to the Lord, and it really was a meaningful time, I got baptized again. And got a letter one time from a guy. He's like, getting baptized twice is like getting recircumcised. I'm like, no. No, it's not. No, not really. Surprised it was from a guy, but if you would like to get baptized again, that is fine. That is not a problem. It's not baptism that saves you. I'm sure all of us have ringtones we don't want anybody to hear. I've got one for Joy that's, was it Al Green that did, "Please Let's Stay Together"? "Loving You Forever"? It's a good ring song, ringtone. Where was I? Oh, rebaptizing you. If you would like to get baptized again, it's not baptism that saves you. Sometimes people get kind of upset. It's like, I've got to get baptized. I've got to get baptized. Baptism is an obedience to the Lord. It's a good thing to do. But it's an outward sign of what's already been done in you. And so it's not what saves you. What saves you is believing in your heart that Jesus is Lord and confessing him with your mouth. That's what saves you, making that decision. That's what saves you. Baptism is actually an outward sign to other people that you are professing Christ as Lord and you're buried with him in baptism. That signifies by going under the water, where you're risen with him to a newness of life. And so baptism is more of a sign. Years ago, they started the altar calls and people would come down to the front. And there's nothing wrong. We don't do that here anymore. But people would say, well, when we stop doing it, they're saying, well, that's the witness, that's a testimony. No, walking an aisle is not the testimony. Baptism actually is the testimony. Some foreign cultures, that's when people are disowned, is when they get baptized, because they really are identifying with Jesus at that point. And so if you've never been baptized, I really would encourage you to do it. You'll never forget it. It's very memorable. And if you've been through something in your life, you say, you know what, I want to do it again, we have no problem with that. There's nothing that says you can't. And so but it is a meaningful. You say, well, I baptized myself. No, that's taking a bath. It's a public witness. And so you want to make sure you do it that way. You're going to recognize this for us up here for stewardship. Say, Alan, you go over this verse a lot. Yeah, I like it. It's a good one. It's one of my favorites. You have favorite verses? This is one of my favorite giving verses. Honor the Lord with your possessions, and worth the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. You go, well, I don't have barns and vats, but you do have bank accounts and resources. And so honoring the Lord, I like that, honoring the Lord with the possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. It didn't say everything, it just says first fruits. One thing about the Lord is he just wants to be first. And so honoring him is, now of course when this was written, they would often bring their crops, or they would bring maybe their animals as a sacrifice. And so we don't do that, but we bring our finances and we honor the Lord that way. That's a great way to honor the Lord. And sometimes people minimize giving, but really you can't minimize it, because it's a part of your life. And so when you give, it's a part of your life. It's amazing how quiet it gets when you talk about giving. You talk about giving or parenting, it gets quiet. Or you know, sometimes, you know, it depends on the crowd, but There's a lot of subjects you can touch on. It gets quiet, but giving can cause a great calm to come across the whole auditorium. But it's a good thing to do. And it gives you an opportunity to tell the Lord, Lord, I honor you. I love you. You have done some really good things for me. And there's a lot of us that wouldn't even be here tonight if it wasn't for him. There's a lot of us whose lives would absolutely be a wreck tonight if it wasn't for him. There's a lot of us who would be going through a lot of mental trauma and agony if it wasn't for him. A lot of us who've been healed in our bodies, he's done a lot of good things for us. And so to have the opportunity to honor him, one of the ways you can do that is with your giving. And if you don't, let me just encourage you. I would pray about it, and I would make a step towards doing that. And I've had people that have come to me and say, Alan, I'm not there. I can't tithe right now. Well, I encourage them, we'll start somewhere and work your way there, because it will bless you to do something like that. It'll bless you to give. It will bless you to honor the Lord. And then we just read there are blessings associated with it. Now, it's not the lottery. It's not, okay, I just gave for 3 weeks in a row. Where's the jackpot? This is not jackpot time. But it is a lifestyle that as you begin to do it, it'll be a blessing and it'll help. All right, we're going to jump in. We've been doing a series on developing a spiritual mindset, and we're going to jump right back into that. I entitled this one, Matt won't use it as a title. How about Meditate to Elevate? No, he didn't like that. That's okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so appreciative of you, thankful of you. Thankful for what you've done, thankful for sending your son, thankful for the salvation you provide, thankful for your mercy and your goodness to us. Father, tonight we just bring our hearts before you. We ask you to help us. I ask that you would help me, Lord, to speak your word with clarity and with accuracy. And Father, with the boldness it deserves, and that our hearts are open and we're receptive to you. You've changed our lives. You continue to work in us to will and do of your good pleasure. And we appreciate it. We are grateful for it. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. If you can agree with that, just say amen. Our text for this developing a spiritual mindset has been Romans 8:6. To be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Last week, we talked about that we need to eat spiritually. I won't go back into that, but we used the example of manna. All of our stuff you can get for free. You can download it and listen to it. You can go to YouTube and watch it. Manna, we talked about how manna is a type of eating spiritually, and that we have manna available to us. We talked about that God gave instructions on how to be successful, and we begin to talk about biblical meditation. I sensed when I'm talking about it, it's a fairly new principle for some of you, so I want to go back over it. I want to make sure that it's a good understanding, because when people think meditation, often they think of Eastern meditation. They think of the idea that you sit cross-legged on the floor and try to focus your mind on nothing. And that might be a way of Eastern meditation. It's not biblical meditation. And so we just want to talk a little bit more about biblical meditation, because it's a powerful tool. And developing a spiritual mindset, remember, this is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. And we go from, when we receive Christ, we go from the old man to the new man, and it's a process. It's a process of change. Well, a big part of that change is us renewing our minds and beginning to think differently and getting a brand new mindset. And so we begin to think and look at life differently. Our perspectives are different. The way we process things is different. And so God was talking, and he talked about a way. And this meditation is one of the best tools to begin to change the way you think. When God gave this principle to Joshua, Joshua had the responsibility of taking over for Moses. And so, big job. And in Joshua 1:8, God is talking to Joshua. He said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success." That word prosperous means to succeed, to do well. Good success means to advance, to move forward. I think most all of us want to do that. I've never met anyone that said, you know, when I grow up, I would like to be an abject failure. No one wants that. We don't want that for our kids. We're like, well, I hope you grow up and live in mediocrity. No, we want our children to grow and develop and get better. We want them to go past us. You know, I look at my children, I think, in many ways, they're better parents than Joy and I were. Well, they should learn from us and grow from there. And so, I said in many ways. I didn't say in every way. You can only imagine what it was like around our dinner table growing up, can you? Or it was laughing, crying. It could be brutal. Here's the thing. God told Joshua, he said, this word is not to depart out of your mouth. And the purpose was so we could observe to do it. In other words, the idea is we needed applying it to our life. Speaking God's word is an effective way to connect his word in our heart. No, you can hear it. You ever just heard something? Maybe you heard a sermon or you read your Bible and a verse just really stood out to you. And then you go about your day and you just like forget it. This is why I always encourage people in your devotional time. I don't call it a diary, but I keep a journal of ideas and thoughts and things that will come to me. So I write them down. And sometimes I'll go back over them and I'm surprised at all that I forgot. I'm like, oh yeah, oh yeah. So it's a good way to keep track of things. But speaking God's word, very effective way to connect his word in our heart. Now, one of the things that'll help you, is the idea of this, finding verses, especially verses that help you with areas that you have challenges with. And so you begin to take verses, and so instead of lamenting, oh, I'm just high-tempered. I've just got a bad temper. I got a bad temper. Well, you might want to change that. Because I've had a bad temper. You say, well, is it completely gone? No, it's still there. But I've learned to control it. It doesn't control me. Say, what helped you? Did you just reach an age that you've now matured? You know, some people mature and get nastier as they get older. So it's like getting older doesn't make you sweeter. It doesn't make you more Christ-like. It doesn't say, well, if you just hang in here, you'll be more Christ-like. No, it's renewing of my mind. But I was thinking, and James had a verse that really helped me. Want to hear it? Yes. Good, you'll hear it anyway, but I just thought I would ask him. It said, James 1:19, this is not in your notes. It says, so then, my beloved brethren, and that includes sistren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I'll put that in modern English, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Can I get an amen, somebody? Yeah. 800 people just disappeared all of a sudden at once. But here's, I've operated that in reverse. I've been quick to get angry, quick to speak, and slow to listen. And so, This is a great relational verse. Quick to listen. Do you realize how many bad listeners there are out there? If you're a good listener, you can make all kinds of friends. People will think you're awesome. You don't have to say a word. You just... They're awesome. Just listen. Quick to listen. Slow to speak. You know this will keep you out of a lot of trouble. Slow to speak. I used to pride myself on how quick I was to have an answer and quick I was to speak. That is not a blessing. That usually got me in trouble. There are times, and there were times I knew it, I was going to get in trouble. It's like, you've heard people say, I could say this. It could get rough, but I'm just going to say it anyway. That's like, I can pull the pin on this grenade and throw it into the room. And it's going to blow up. Oh, let me just do it anyway and just see what happens. So here's the deal. I begin to take this verse and begin to meditate on this verse. And I begin to say, thank you, Lord. I am quick to hear, I'm slow to speak, and I'm slow to get angry. Now, when I first started saying that, I wasn't. But it's not a matter of what you are now, it's a matter of what you're becoming. And so this is where we want to use our faith. People talk about faith, and they talk about name it and claim it. We're not talking about name it and claim it. We're talking about what we can become, the kind of people we can become. And I will begin to claim that I'm quick to listen. I'm still working on that one. Because I tend to want you to be quick to speak so I can say something. And you know, some people, they're listening, but they're loading their guns right behind their back the whole time you're talking. Every man be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So you just take that verse. Now you can memorize that. And you can just repeat that. You can be driving down the road going, I am quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. I'm quick to hear and I'm slow to speak. And what happens is it begins to get in you. And then it'll rise up in you. You're about to say something and you're like, I'm slow to speak. I want to tell you something. That's blessed my marriage. It's just me shutting up. Don't look so innocent. Just be being quiet. And because a lot of times, if I'd say something, it would start it. Joy used to think that I enjoyed fighting and arguing. And I did. I thought it was a competition sport. It was, and I want to win. You don't win arguments. You lose arguments. And so that's just something you can take God's word. But here's what. You begin to take that, and you can put that in you. And after a while, you meditate on that. You're speaking that. And what are you doing? You're making a connection, and that begins to come up in your heart. And then when it begins to come up in your heart, it can begin to govern your behavior. And when it begins to govern our behavior, then, and by the way, this is Christ-like. This is Christ-like. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. So that's a good way to go. I can tell y'all not really excited about this, but this is really good. Because this is where we live. And so you're dealing with problems. We're all dealing with situations. And maybe your problem is not like you might be just calm and peaceful and very good listener and slow to speak and just like zero temper. You're just cool, calm, and collected. We'll find another verse. Because that might not be your problem. This is why we don't judge other people. My problem may not be yours. And what bothers you may not bother me. And so what you have to find is find the area where you need help and use that as a promise and take those promises and put them in. I think it's pretty good. I enjoyed that. It helped me. Thank you, Alan. Should I just keep on? Yeah, I'm going to keep on. I'm going to go ahead anyway. See, I'm meditating to myself right now. Paul told Timothy, he said, 1 Timothy 4:15, he said, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. He'd just given them instructions, and then he is telling them, he said, now you meditate on these things, this is, and then you give yourself. But here's the thing. The implication is we're meditating to do. We're not just meditating to speak it, we're meditating to do it. So we want to put this into our life. The whole key is application. Jesus was talking one time, and he's talking to the people who were around him. And he said in Matthew 7, he said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. So Jesus is talking. Now, people say, well, Jesus is the rock. Yeah, he is the rock in terms of our salvation. But that's not really what he's talking about here. What he's talking about here is that the rock, what makes us strong and stable, is not just hearing the word, it's putting it into practice in our life. I'm just amazed how quiet you guys are tonight. Are you thinking? Are you sleepy? Are you ready for the Super Bowl? Who cares about the Super Bowl? It's Philadelphia and Kansas City. We don't care. We don't even care. Except I would like for the Chiefs to get beat. Anybody with me on that? Thank you. You know, the people who are booing are Cowboy fans who don't like Philadelphia. And then us Texan fans who don't like Texas, maybe both of them could blow themselves up, and that would be a great Super Bowl. Just want to make sure you guys are here. Okay, Jesus said it's doing it. It's putting it into practice. So the putting it into practice is, you know, you can practice being quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Say, are you going to get off of that? No, I'm going to go right back to it. It's a practice thing, and you practice it. You say, well, you know, when I practice it, I'm not doing that good. Keep practicing. If you keep practicing, keep meditating, stay on it, you'll calm down. And you'll become a good listener, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Boy, that blesses everybody. Meditation by speaking God's word is a powerful tool. Here's three things it'll do for you. One, it gives understanding. It gives you understanding. You begin to take God's word, you begin to speak God's word, it begins to give you understanding. So again, don't just sit there and think. If you especially go by yourself, definitions of meditation is to mutter out loud. It's to talk to yourself. And I know some of you have been told, oh, you should never talk to yourself. I think talking to yourself is a good idea. You know someone's listening. You appreciate the person who's talking. But what they've actually done studies, and they found that people who talk to themselves solve problems better. They gave two groups of people a list of things to find in a grocery store they'd never been before. One group was told to speak out loud what they were looking for. The other group was told to be completely silent. And they found that the ones who spoke it out loud were the ones who found it quicker. It's helpful in problem solving. And we've all done it. Have you ever lost your keys? And you walked around your house going, I know you're here somewhere. You were here. No, where are you, keys? I know you're here. I know I had you. I'm not the only one that's ever done that, have I? Thank you. Because I know you talk to your dogs, too. Yes, you do. We don't record you because it's going to sound stupid. But we talk to our dogs like they really understand. Like, Daddy's feeling bad today, but you understand, don't you? Yes, you do. So if you do that, you can at least take God's word, begin to go, you can walk around your house going, I am quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And I'm going to give you about another one that's going to help you with. But the first one is, it gives you understanding. Did we read Psalms? Psalms 49. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. So as you begin to meditate, actually understanding begins to come. You say, how does that work, Alex? I don't know. It just does. The meditation of my heart gives understanding. Here's the second benefit. It puts life into our words. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You ever catch, here's one of the benefits. This is a benefit. As you begin to read God's word, as you begin to speak God's word, it will help you audit your words. And what we realize is over the years, we've developed patterns of talking and patterns and ways of thinking. And patterns of talking, we don't realize how much death we talk. But when you start to audit your words, you begin to realize. Joy and I were just doing this, talking the other day, and we were dealing with a situation. And I said, honey, I said, we've got to speak differently about this. I said, we're not doing right. We're just talking the problem. And it's very easy to slip into. And she saw it. She said, you're right. She said, we need to change that. We begin to change what we say. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And when we take God's word, now we're speaking life. You'd be surprised if you just kind of audited your words, how much negative stuff comes out of our mouth. How much things we say that aren't good. Well, it's never going to work. It never works out for me. Oh, dear God, I guess it's going to break down. Well, and you know, this, well, you know how it works. You know, I am stupid me. And we say things that if someone said them to us, it would make us mad. And we say things about ourselves that are wrong. And so learning to put God's word in your mouth, you know you're speaking life. They're speaking words that have life to them. But what a blessing that is. So, number three, it helps us control our thoughts. You ever have something happen and your thoughts are just hitting you, and they're just, I think someone liked it at one time, to just bees flying around your head. And man, they're just coming at you. And you hear people say, I can't control my thoughts. I can't stop. I can't help it. I can't stop. You want to stop saying that. But if you're having trouble controlling your thoughts, this is what's so helpful in speaking your words out loud. Proverbs 4, let me show you this. My son, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my sayings. Don't lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart, for their life to those who find them. Health to one's whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it's the source of life. But he said, don't lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart. One of the ways to keep them within your heart is just to repeat them. You ever wake up in the middle of the night and all of a sudden just you're just plagued with thoughts? Negative thoughts. I'm the only one? Okay, all right. I'll keep going then. There's four of you here that's happened to, and so I'm just going to... You wake up and you're plagued with, and if you're not careful, you'll start looping on those thoughts. You know what I mean by looping? You're just going over and over and over and over. And people talk about mental health, and they talk about anguish and stuff like that. This is where it is, right here. But this is an answer for it right here. Because if you're trying to fight thoughts with thoughts, you're going to have a tough time. So you need to fight thoughts with words. So this is where you say, well, I don't know any Bible verses. Do you know the 23rd Psalm? Almost everyone knows that one. The Lord is my, I shall not. He makes me to in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. If you even wake up in the middle of the night and you've just got thoughts, just begin, not so loud that it wakes up your spouse. But I could do it really loud. Joyce slept through two hurricanes. Girl can sleep. So I can just, yeah, I can. But to speak it out loud helps me control my thoughts and helps me stop looping. So this is how I do it. I keep, and that's how we keep it in us. Does it make sense? I can't overemphasize how important this is. We're too quiet as Christians. We need to connect our heart and our mouth, and our heart and our mouth, and our heart and our mouth. The Bible's called the Great Confession. People say, well, I don't believe in confession. Yes, you do. Maybe you've had the wrong thought about it, but our confession is, I am saying the same thing God is saying. I want to say the same thing about me that He says about me. He does not call me a failure. He calls me His beloved son. He says I am blessed in Christ. He says I am highly favored in the beloved. You say, well, that's because you're a preacher. It's because I'm a believer. Forget the preacher thing. That has nothing to do with it. Listen, if being a preacher puts you on a different level, preachers wouldn't fall. And have they fallen? And by the grace of God, I won't. But it's not being a preacher this is a job. This is a role. It's an anointing to do a job, and it actually is to help you. That's my job. I'm here to help you. Whether you like it or not, I am here to help you. Say, well, sometimes I like it and sometimes I don't. Well, buckle up, Sparky. Let's go with this. But the idea is helps you control the thought. There's a young lady here in the church. She came up to me last Sunday. And by the way, they're all young now. You guys appreciate this. I'm standing in a place of business other day on Monday, and I'm just kind of standing there waiting to see if a friend was in. And a lady was looking at me. Now, I've reached that age. When ladies are looking at me, my ego doesn't go, hey, 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 they're looking at you. My ego's like, they know you. So I just keep it in check. I'm like, okay, great. They know me. So I'm standing there. She just kept looking at me. And then it gets worse. She finally said, "You look familiar." I was about to say, and then she said, "Oh, I know. You're Joy Clayton's husband." That's why I keep my ego in check, because it could have taken a huge dip on that one. I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am. I'm certainly Joy's husband. I don't have a name. I'm just Joy's husband. Joy and what's his name?" But a young lady came. She's the teacher here at CISD. She told me, she said, I've got a student that gives me such a hard time. She said, "I actually took your idea on the 3x5 cards." Anybody else take a card, do a card this week? Great, three of you. I'm glad. She took the card. She said, and I had a verse. She said, and when the student came, she said, I brought that card out and I would read it. And she said, it helped me so much, I started passing out cards to the other teachers as well. But she said, it helped me. And what it helped her do was control her thoughts. Boy, control. Do you realize this is where the battle is? Oh, yeah. Boy, it's right here, right here. This is where people talk so much about mental health. Guys, we have an answer for mental health. Amen. Yeah. We have the balm. We have the balm of Gilead. We've got life we can put into our mouths and into our thinking. And the idea, and if the enemy sold you the idea that you could never get control of your thoughts and that you're just destined to think this way and it's always going to be that way, that's a lie from hell. Because if you're God's child, he does not want you tormented mentally. But he's also given you some tools that you will have to pick up and use. So don't keep praying, "God, deliver me, God, deliver me, God, deliver me." Pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is his word, and start to use it in your thoughts. It won't be easy, but it's worth it. Our challenge is we keep looking for easy. There is no easy button with this life. People say, "Oh, Christianity is for weaklings." You've never lived this life. Because we're people who are resisting all the time. We're resisting the darkness. We're resisting the negativity. We're resisting the thoughts. We're resisting, but we've got something to resist with. And we have his word, and it works like a sword. And if you take it and begin to use it, it will help you. And if you just stay with it, if you just stay with it, it'll bless you. Phew. It is an answer. It's an answer for mental trauma. I'll open this, and then we won't have time to go into it. When are we getting our praise zone? 26, okay, good. That'll be good. So we got another couple times. Psalms chapter 1, I'm going to show you this again. There's a contrast here. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delights in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night." There's that word again, meditates. "And he shall be like a tree," I love this, "planted by rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." That's enough reason right there for us to meditate. But here's one of the things, here's a contrast here. We're talking about spiritual mindset. Here's three areas to avoid. First one is we want to avoid taking in a lot of counsel or advice from the ungodly. Now, the ungodly is not the worst individual in your job. The ungodly are people who give advice and God's not anywhere in it. Not a part of it. No acknowledgement of God, no acknowledgement of his ways. I mean, they can be good people, but some of their advice you just got to be real careful about. Here's one. Be real careful on people who give you advice on relationships. If they've been married 5 times, you don't want to listen. I'm not trying to be unkind, but attitudes. It's a lot of times there's a marked lack of humility, of financial. People give you financial advice. I've heard people say, we received a gift one time, an inheritance, and the person who was giving it to us said, "Well, you don't need to tithe all this. We've already tithed all of it." Well, I haven't. So I'm not going to take that advice. And so you really want to be careful about the advice you get from people who don't have God anywhere in it. Now, here's the thing. The more you read this, the more you're going to be able to filter out what advice is good. And what this is truth. Amen. And you have the spirit of truth on the inside. And so when stuff starts coming your way, you'll start asking. Joy say, I heard this today. And I'm like, where's the scripture for that? And that's kind of how we talk around the house. I said, God's word said this. And so we're constantly filtering. So advice from the ungodly. You want to avoid the path of the sinners. That's their actions and ways. That's the path is where people walk. It's a very different mentality. It's very, very typically very selfish based. Whenever I hear a lot of, well, you just got to do you. And you just, I need me. And it's my truth. And it's all this. And it's like, hey, whoa. That's a lot of me in there. And that's you want to be careful of that. So you want to avoid the actions and ways of sinners. Jesus spoke of two ways. This is interesting. He spoke of a broad way and a difficult way. Matthew 7. Look at, this is Jesus' words. He said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in it. But narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it. Hang on to the word difficult is actually the word confined. He said, there's a way of life and it's confined. A way of destruction, there's a lot of ways of destruction. And what you're saying is you want to watch. And for those of you who are fairly new and maybe you've just come to Christianity, please listen to me. Be careful of your friends and who your friends are and how they're influencing you. And if they're influencing you, if they're pulling you away, if they say, where are you going tonight? You go, I'm going to church. They go, oh, come on, man. You went Sunday. Didn't you go Christmas? Be careful of that. And here's my thing is, influence them and don't let them influence you. Just tell them, come on with me. You'll love our pastor. He preaches short. But be careful of the friends. And the last one, boy, I'd love to get into this one, but I won't. The seat of the scornful is the cynical and the critical. The cynical and the critical. I've heard people say this. I love Jesus. I just don't like the church. Listen, the church is made up of people, and we're not perfect. We'll let you down. We'll disappoint you. We're people, but it's still the church. And it's the church is still the bride of Christ. And we're still the body of Christ. It would be like you come to me going, Alan, I just loved you, but I cannot stand your wife. How do you think that's going to sit with me? Are you kidding? I'm Joy's husband. I'm not going to like that at all. So when people's like, well, I love Jesus, I don't love the church, that's us. So don't get cynical and critical. And because cynical and critical, where you find cynical and critical, you'll find judgmental. I grew up in a very critical home. My parents just critical of everything. And unfortunately, that rubbed off on me. And I was highly, highly critical. Critical. In some ways, I would find what's wrong with the situation. That's good if you're problem solving. But there's a difference between analyzing and just being critical of people. And I know Joy called me up on it one time. She went off on me. She said, you're just too critical, and really convicted me. And I realized, we've got a lot of people who are cynical and critical and judgmental. And the Bible said, everyone's going to give account of himself to God. Amen. It said, so judge this, that you don't judge one another. Judge that you don't put an occasion to stumble in your brother's way. Basically, what it's saying is, we got enough to do taking care of us. Amen. We don't need to be judging other people. Now, we can judge what's wrong. If you embezzle $100,000 from your company, I can look at you and go, that's wrong. And that's not judging. That's judging a situation. I still can't judge what's in your heart. I'll let the Lord take care of that. That's above my pay grade. Would you bow your head for a moment? Father, thank you for this time. We appreciate it. Thank you, Father, for people who love you, who care about you, who care about your word, people who watch online, people who come. And Lord, we just thank you. In all labor, there's profit. Thank you for what you're putting in us and how you're working us and how this church is growing and developing. We give you all the praise for that. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed real quickly. If you came this evening, if you're watching online, you say, you know what? I'm really not sure where I stand with God. I'm not sure where I stand with the Lord, but I want to be. Or maybe you're like I was and you had made that decision and you know you've just gotten away from God. Your relationship's not what it should be. And you realize, I want to come back. I want to walk with the Lord. I want to have that relationship with him. We're going to say a prayer. Not going to have you stand up. Not going to have you come down to the front. I am going to ask you one thing. If that's you I'm talking to and you say, you know what? I really want to be a part of that prayer. Would you pray for me? Shoot your hand up quick just across this auditorium. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, I got you in the back. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hands, you can still pray with us. We're going to pray this out loud. If you're online, if you're by yourself, pray this out loud. If you're with other people, pray it quietly. We're going to pray with you as a church family. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer who've come out of darkness into light. And for those who've come back home, we rejoice with them. And Lord, we rejoice that you are still working in us to will and do of your good pleasure. We give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.